Okay, Brooke, so if we open the top here, we can see that it's in photo-only mode, so it's just programmed. I don't want to shoot any of my chickens in case it makes a mistake, so it's just taking photographs, and it's taken 126 photos, hopefully of all of the chooks going past, and it shows the time and the battery levels, all run by solar power with a little electric motor. Yeah, we can just...
Trap will only take photos.
So I've just
press stop to deactivate.
I'm just turning it off now, and it talks you through all the... She's got a pretty awful accent at the moment, so we're going to try and get an Aussie accent into that as well. So, but you can just see that it says it's got how many doses it's got left, and the battery power, the memory, and what lure's playing at the moment. So those lures only come on at night time when the cat's most active, but that's pretty much it.
Have you got a few different lure noises?
We have. I could go through them if you like. It might just take a little bit to... So we've got a squealing rat there. A sparrow in distress as well, that might excite a cat walking past. And a starling. And this one here is the sound of a button quail. They're little birds that are out in the grassland at night time. Cats love hunting them. A lot of the cats we cut open from out bush have got button quail. And of course the randy cat. If there's any tomcats around, that's the one they're going to go for, we think. Yeah, so it only plays at night time, and they play every second night, and then the other night it's just quiet. Sometimes we're not sure if these lures might scare some cats or attract some cats, so they only play for a short period, then they're quiet for a while. Try and replicate how cats are going to hear noises in the environment. So conventional lures that you buy go all the time, and they're a bit predictable and not very realistic, so we're trying to make these as realistic as possible. I guess we've been sort of mulling over the best ways of controlling feral cats for maybe 15 years or so, but about 8 or 9 years ago we settled on the concept of spraying poison onto their fur, because cats don't like being dirty. They're really fastidious, and they'll lick it off their fur, whereas often, especially if there's plenty of food around, cats are reluctant to take a bait or enter a trap. So for about the last 7 years, been working out the best way of getting poison onto cats' fur, but not onto other animals' fur. So not onto dogs, not onto kangaroos, not onto Toyotas or people, but just cats. So it's evolved from there.
And cats are, like you said, a lot different to other pests and ferals that you have to deal with as well.
Yeah, that's right. Cats are hunters by nature. Anyone who's owned a cat or seen cats, know that they prefer live food. They very rarely scavenge unless they're super hungry, whereas foxes and dogs will readily take baits or scavenge, and they use their nose, whereas cats really use their eyes and their agility and things. So targeting cats' hunting ability. So the concept of these traps is a cat just walks past, it doesn't even know the trap's there. It can be 4 meters away, and these can identify that it's a cat and fire on it without it having to slow down or investigate a bait or do anything out of the ordinary. So we don't rely on the cat changing its behavior. We've made this smart enough to identify them.
And you've dealt with feral cats for quite a while now.
Yeah, that's right. I spent a lot of time up at Roxby Downs, and then worked on the arrow recovery project up there, where we removed feral cats, and we tried to get bilbies and things established outside the reserve there where there are cats, and we tried baiting and shooting and trapping and all the conventional things, and just really challenging. You can knock foxes down, you can knock dogs down, but cats just keep coming back, and we also find that sometimes cat control can be quite effective initially, but then when you knock the numbers down, then all the native mice and birds build up in numbers, and then they're no longer interested in going for a bait or anything like that. So just trying to come up with some way that's sustainable and smart and can operate 24/7. If you've got a fantastic crack shooter and they're happy to sit there for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that's fantastic. But these things sort of do it themselves.
And I guess that is we're looking at one now, this trap, and it's just a pretty simple box on the outside, but I guess the mechanics inside, there's a bit more going on. But tell us how it would work if a cat walked past, say, tonight.
Right, so we call them a grooming trap. They're not actually a trap at all, so they don't actually hold or contain the animal at all. They use an array of sensors. So those sensors look out as long as the ground's flat, so you have to flatten the ground they operate on. But we normally set them up where there's a road or a track or along a fence line where cats are likely to walk. And if the cat breaks both of the activation beams, which are set sort of about a cat's rump and shoulder, the height and the spacing, then the machine will fire. But it's also got a couple of blocking sensors, so one that's a bit higher than a cat, so that any sort of decent sized dog, a kelpie for example, as soon as that gets broken, the whole machine shuts down for a full minute, so the dogs can't fire them, people, cars, kangaroos can't fire them. It's also got another lower blocking beam that passes between a cat's legs, because what's really different about cats and foxes have got quite long legs compared to Australian native animals of similar size. So just think of a koala or a wombat or even a bettong. There's not a lot of room between its legs, and so this second blocking sensor between the legs has to be free at the same time the other two blocking the activation sensors are finding something. And that means you've got an animal about the size of a cat, but it's not too tall and it hasn't got a big deep belly or short legs. So if that's the case, yeah, within about 20 milliseconds it'll fire a shot at 60 meters a second, so it's really fast. And the shots is just gel, so it's just it's totally painless. It's just a gel coming out of a syringe that's really accurate, and gets a cat or a fox within 3 or 4 meters.
And then that grooming instinct comes in, and the cat will turn and look to groom themselves.
Yeah, it's a little bit more dramatic than that, because it comes out in a bit of a hurry. So the cat normally reacts, jumps out of the way and runs off, and it doesn't know what's hit it. It can't actually detect the sensor beams or anything like that. And we've got quite a few video cases of cats sort of walking past and all of a sudden sort of jumping up or doing a bit of a cartwheel, and then they'll run off behind a tree and groom themselves. That's right. And really fastidious about being clean. And then that's right. And then I guess a good thing is that the trap or the grooming traps automatically reset themselves. So there's 20 of these syringes in there. And if another cat comes past in 2 days' time or 2 weeks' time, she's ready to go again.
And so this idea started here in South Australia. How far have you been able to market this trap, and where has it gone from here?
Yeah, still early days, Brooke. We haven't actually started marketing them. It's still in the sort of research and development phase. So we've built 5 of these units. You've seen the one at Venus Bay. We've got one up at Wilpena at the moment, and one here in my chook shed, just making sure we can distinguish chooks from cats. But yeah, so it'll be a while yet before they're commercially available. At the moment, we're just operating under a research permit. So we're just really trialing them, seeing how effective they are, seeing how many we might need or any modifications that need to be made to them to make sure that they're really targeted to cats, they're really humane for cats, and not impacting any non-target species.
And so you said about foxes as well. Do you have to have a different setup for the fox, being a different shape and size?
Yeah, so overall foxes are fairly similar shape to a cat. They've got slightly longer legs, but yeah, the same sensor array will get foxes as well. But in some early trials we did a couple of years ago, the foxes weren't as likely to groom the full dose off, and only a quarter of the foxes that got sprayed died, whereas all the cats that got a full dose died. So now we're standing here next to a pen and enclosure I've made here, where we're putting some foxes in there and trialing different flavours to try and see if a bit of shrimp or a bit of beef or a bit of liver entices them to groom a bit more thoroughly. Yeah, so ideally we'll have something that can get both foxes and cats, but keep our dogs and native animals safe.
Is it something that you can see down the track, a sheep producer having one of these sing out in his paddock or something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a real problem with sheep and lambs trying to control foxes, where you've got sheepdogs or pet dogs or pet cats for that matter, throwing baits at or putting traps. So these things won't get a decent sized dog. Puppies potentially could get hit, but our dogs, I've tried with some honey and sauce and things like that, and our dogs aren't too keen on licking themselves either. They're happy to roll around on their backs. But one of the other devices we're thinking of attaching to this is a radio tag scanner. So you could just put a tag on your collar of your pet animals, whether it's a cat or a working dog or a pet dog, and that will block it from firing. So yeah, it'll be perfectly safe to use in around where you've got your pets, and it'll just target the ones that you don't want.
And I've been out and had a look at the one at the Venus Bay National Park out there, and I've seen it in action. Are you pretty pleased with where it's come to from an idea that you had a few years ago?
Yeah, it's been a really long journey, and sometimes you sort of concentrate on the problems. But yeah, looking at people's faces when it fires off on a cardboard cat is pretty exciting, and it's pretty rewarding. There's still a fair way to go. We've still got to complete a whole lot of trials and perfect the development of them, and then ideally going into manufacture and try and get the costs down a bit and get them more affordable. But it's pretty rewarding, and hopefully already at Venus Bay we're sort of the last time we checked the camera there, it had 5 bilbies taken on the camera. So these grooming traps have got a camera built in. Every time any of the sensors are broken, it takes a photograph. When we first put them out there, we got a couple of cats, and now the last time we got 5 bilbies in a row. So that's a pretty good sign, and if we can replicate that around the place, I'll be really happy.